Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking again about the Kingdom of God, and we are in the 10th session of Sacred Purpose Trust. So there's 9 other sessions you may not have heard, which you can get on our podcasts or on our websites. They're not all up yet, because some of them are just been recently broadcast or are being edited from other shows that we've been doing, but eventually they'll all be available on the livingnetwork.org, which you have to seek to become a member of by joining the network in your local area, and then we'll let you know when all these are up, as well as some other written documentation that goes along with it. A lot of things in the news today and this week that we saw. There was a couple of things on Facebook. One fellow was going around and putting a rag over a girl's face, because he knew who she was. It was all staged, as if he was chloroforming her in broad daylight on busy city streets. She passes out after screaming and resisting slightly, and he picks her up and carries her off, and nobody did it. One guy eventually decided to track the guy down, but he had already left the area by the time this guy started to act. And I know that part of that is because of the fact that you can't quite believe what is happening. But that, the spirit of not being involved, people actually were interviewed later and said things like, it was none of my business. That never could have happened years before. In societies, but in modern society, the hue and cry has gone out. Nobody does anything. Somebody else sent me a video of people, which I think they're not too far away from us, where the husband was arrested, and people were standing around trying to figure out. They thought the cops were being overbearing and not being fair, and he hadn't really done anything. They just decided that they wanted to arrest him, and so they did. And then his wife videoed this, I guess, with her phone, and she was cooperative in every way. They said, step back. She stepped back. They said, don't step over here. She didn't step over there. She was cooperating, but her husband is in the police car, and so she's videoing it. And they said they're not afraid of the video. They didn't tell her she had to shut it off. They said that you had to go away. Well, her husband's still sitting there in the car, and she stepped back. She continued to step back. She stepped where she said she didn't want to cause any trouble. She didn't want to interfere. She identified herself as the wife of the man they arrested. And they just all of a sudden, just you could see that there was a spirit of, you're not doing everything. You're not bowing down to my power and authority. No way were the police officers in danger. They weren't being obstructed. Nobody was interfering. And they just decided to arrest the woman. And they grabbed her and cuffed her. And that's just unbelievable. And they don't realize that it's unbelievable. They don't realize there's anything wrong. Same thing with the issue of Mr. Bundy, Clive Bundy, and going on in Nevada. Another story. Huge military-like force surrounding in order to round up these cows. Bundy has fought this in court for years and years and years. He's actually made the BLM look bad in the media, even in the courts at times. But there's a huge amount of power that wants every rancher off that range. Of course, there's oil underneath the ground. There's treaties that are involved here, and they just want all the cattlemen off the range. Of course, people say things like, well, he doesn't own it, the land. Well, he owns a grazing right that would pre-existed the BLM. They don't have the right to really just take it away, although they do have certain powers and control. But you see, you've created a system where people have the legal right to be morally wrong. And And most people do not understand. I read some blogs on this. I read some where people are making comments about it. And people don't understand property rights. They don't understand grazing rights. They don't understand what's going on there. They're picking sides, and they are completely ignorant of what's really going on. They don't know. And you know who is to blame? Well, you blame everybody, because everybody's been slothful, and everybody has chosen to remain ignorant. You know, they know more about Silas Marner than they do about the law. And I don't know if I even got the name right. But anyway, reality is that it's the same thing as in the days of Jesus Christ and the Pharisees. The modern Christian has more in common with the Pharisees who crucified Christ than they have in common with the Christians who followed Christ. Because 90%, and I'm being generous here, of the Christians today are not doing what Christ said to do. They're actually doing the opposite of what Christ said to do. And it's very clear, once you understand historical context and a definition of a few words in the English, and then go back and reread the Bible. Don't even have to get into the Greek, just to get into the English, to understand what words meant in English, say, 200 years ago. Certainly, you should understand what the words meant when they began to translate the Bible into English. But you have to put it into historical context, and you find out that Christ was actually freeing the people, not only of Judea, but of the world, whatever that means. And many of you probably know what I'm saying here. Freeing them from a system that was modeled after the spirit of Cain. And that, of course, is what Clive Bundy's real problem is that Clive Bundy made Cain look bad. The spirit of Cain looked bad. He embarrassed them. And also, he's grazing his cows on land that's got oil underneath it. They want to get rid of the cows. They don't really want to save the tortoise. Of course, they have a number of people that want to save the tortoise. Of course, the tortoise has been there for hundreds of years, thousands of years, and the cows have been there for over 100 years, and well more than 100 years, and the tortoise is still there. So the tortoises haven't gone. And there are all kinds of things you do. The tortoise does not need 600,000 acres of cattle-free land. They're not talking about overgrazing or anything. As a matter of fact, local biologists who work for the Fish and Wildlife have stated openly that cattle can actually be beneficial for the range. Once you understand how range land works and how nature works, grasses grow on the desert, and you either have to burn them off or eat them. It's part of the system of nature to produce things that will bear fruit and be consumed. It is good for nature. As a matter of fact, even overgrazing has been found to be an important management tool. But it's not really overgrazing. What it is you overgraze one season, but then the next season you let the ground restore itself. And it makes it stronger. It makes it a healthier ground. They've done this where they've gone to ground that hasn't been grazed in a long time, or they've done it also with ground that has been grazed regularly, where they actually turn cows on the ground and overgraze it so that it looks like it's just absolutely devastated. Brush is pushed over and all this kind of stuff. And all the grasses are eaten down, there's manure everywhere, and then they pull the cows off for a year. Now, you can't do that without management, because the cows have to eat something next year, so you have to have another place to put them. Well, if you have 600,000 acres, you can easily rotate those cows around and put them on one area, overgraze it 1 year, and then let it rest for 2-3 years while you're on other pieces of ground. And what happens is the desert comes back and blooms more than ever. And it's called management. And, of course, the BLM is the Bureau of Land Management. But I can show you. I've worked for the Forest Service. I studied with the University of Minnesota. And I've done a lot of studying on my own. I've read the books by Pinchot and everybody else. The bureaucracies are really very poor managers. They manage to get their pensions, but they really don't do a very good job managing. And I can say this from first-hand, inside experience. Any institution that sends somebody in a $50,000 truck to drive 60 miles to another forestry compound to count spray paint cans in a closet where there's probably 50 employees walking by every day, and then drive back the same, it would be some 60, 70 miles back to tell them how many cans were in the closet, and think that they've done a day's work, that's an insane operation. I just gave that off the top of my head as an example. But I can give you huge examples, like taking a wastebasket load of garbage and putting it in a 10-yard dump truck and driving the dump truck to the dump to dump the wastebasket of paper garbage so that you get miles on the truck is insane. Well, that's the kind of stuff that goes on. That's not a rumor that I heard from somebody once. I was actually told to do that when I worked for the Forest Service. So, and it just goes on. It goes on and on. I could tell you some really funny stories, too, because I was a little bit outspoken even then. But the point is what is happening is that you're feeding the spirit of Cain and the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah. What was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah? In a time of affluence, you did not strengthen the poor. And what did they mean? Sodom and Gomorrah was a socialist state. They were socialist states that provided benefits by men who exercised authority one over the other. Something Christ specifically said, if you were going to follow him, you were not to do. Yet, we have Christians out there, people calling themselves Christians, taking the name of Christ in vain and saying that Christ was a socialist. Amazing. Just amazing. And they weaken society so much so that somebody thinks they tweeted about something they thought was unfair, or they put like on Facebook, and they think they've actually done something to stop injustice in the world. That's insane. You haven't done anything, virtually nothing, because all you did is make a virtual message to a lot of other people who will tweet it and send it, but nothing's being done, you know. And of course, what you do is the only ones who show up are the people who get all angry and upset and shake their fist and really, in some ways, have the same spirit. They go completely unarmed. They think they get armed because they get a gun or something. They do not put on the armor of God, the armor of Christ. They will not succeed. They make lots of noise. They may push back a little bit, but they're resisting evil, with anger and judgment. It's not going to work. So we've been talking about the Sacred Purpose Trust because this is an institution of God. We see Abraham doing it. We see Moses doing it. We see Christ in the early church doing it. I don't see the modern church doing it. And therefore, there's no hope. There's no salvation in these modern churches. None. Absolutely none in the modern churches. Because they're not following Christ. They're not doing what he said to do. They're not seeking to do. They don't even know what he said to do. And that's what we've been going over in the last couple of shows, is some of the things that he said that his ministers had to do. They had to do it. They didn't have any choice. If you are to be one of my disciples, you must But, you know, how many ministers do what he says in that command? And we went over that in the last couple of shows, how he said it over and over and over again. Yet ministers don't do it. They do actually the absolute opposite. As a matter of fact, the most prominent and famous ministers are completely, not only 180 degrees different than what Christ said they had to do, they have gone to the extreme in countering what Christ said to do. They do the absolute opposite to the nth degree. And then they wonder why the church is impotent. And it is impotent. Oh, they claim miracles here and there, but you know, the devil can produce miracles. And then there are some miracles that are just coincidences. And there are some miracles that are not really miracles, but simply, you know, like I've talked before about people who are suddenly healed and all this kind of stuff, especially in crowds, that what they're actually doing is redistributing the energy in that crowd. There's a way to be psychic vampires, spiritual vampires, where you take the energy out of one person and you put it in another. And if you don't think that's true, do you ever hear of mass hysteria? Did you ever hear about the old lady who picks up a car and lifts it off somebody when it falls off a jack? Now, how does she do that? Where does she get the energy to do that? Oh, they say adrenaline. No, just a little squirt of a little chemical in you. Now, boy, you need that. You need that if you're going to send your soldiers into battle. You can just have a little pump there and pump in a little adrenaline, and they could go do anything that you tell them. They'd be like superhuman. It's not just the chemical. There are other things at play here. And then there's the quantum issue. The spiritual issue of the power coming from the other side. Like we've talked about with some of the other things. But how do you tap into these other sources without, you know, pumping yourself full of drugs? You know, we talked in an earlier show about drugs, and you know, I mentioned that, like, marijuana can give you a sense that it helps you focus. What it actually does is cut off part of your perceptions so that all your attention can be focused in one direction. It's kind of like Ritalin. It operates differently chemically, but Ritalin, when the kid takes Ritalin, he's not distracted by the bird flying outside and the kid getting up and sharpening his pencil and the honky horn down on the street. He doesn't hear those things. He's cut off. He doesn't even notice them. And he's able to focus on the droll mumblings of the teacher, and then he gets C's in school instead of F's. Because before he was distracted by so many other things. He could tell you everything he saw during the day. But the teacher was the most boring thing available. But, and I've given you, told you stories, firsthand experience with people who get on these drugs and the seizures that develop. And then the parents think, well, the seizure can't be because he's on the drug. It's only when he gets off the drug that he has the seizure. Well, it's called withdrawal. And, of course, that's why most people who get on these mind-altering drugs for depression, they think they can't get off them. And it's a trick to get off of them. And it should be done very carefully with proper supervision. But the reality is that as soon as you try to go off them, you start feeling anxious. Oh, I need my medication. Well, no, what you're feeling is withdrawal. I mean, it's like a heroin addict saying, oh, I need my heroin. Of course he's going to think he needs his heroin. He's trying to go off it, and he's going to have withdrawal. And so you have to prepare for that and act accordingly. Well, there's other addictions, and this is what we were talking about. Addictions to socialism. You're addicted to socialism. That's why you have public schools and public health and Medicare and Medicaid. And why, you know, police. Calling the police when there's a crime is socialism. Now, that doesn't mean you don't call for help, but the guy who just sits there and, you know, hides and calls the police, you know, in this community, because there are no police, I mean, they get out here from time to time, but the nearest police station is about 75 miles away. And so, people call each other out here. And many people show up out here. Not as many as should, but a lot more than you'll see in the cities. Well, that's very important for society. It strengthens society when you show up and care about one another and be there for one another. It's part of the character of God. We talked about Jesus manifested the name of God. In other words, he manifested the character of God. You don't manifest Yadavahe or the Tetrahedron or, you know, Jehovah. You don't manifest that. You say that. But he says he manifested the name, because the word name means the character of God. Do you manifest the character of Christ? If you hadn't eaten anything and been talking for hours and camping out and somebody gave you some fish and some bread, would you bless it and give it away? Or would you chow down on it? Well, if you would bless it and give it away, you might be ministerial material. If somebody suddenly gave you a windfall and you said, well, I don't really deserve this, I want to give it away. But give it away wisely. Well, how do you do that? You see, Israel was a nation that operated entirely by faith, hope, and charity under Moses. The Levites didn't kick in anybody's door in order to provide the social welfare, the health, educational welfare needed in a society to keep it bound together. This was all done by free will offerings, free will offerings, free will offerings over and over again. This is what Christ was talking about. Because they had moved from that to a socialist state, which is what Rome was doing, and if you understood the historical context, Rome went from a republic to an empire by moving into a socialist state. And they offered you free bread and free health care and all these things in Rome. And Herod was doing the same. That's how he got the money to build the Golden Temple and the temple at Roma. Because he didn't just build Jewish temples, he built pagan temples. You could sign up with the Jews for your social security, or you could sign up with the Temple of Roma for your social security. You pick the temple, and you have. You don't go to church anymore when you're sick. You don't go to church anymore when you have needs. You go to the men who exercise authority. Went over that. You go to Cain, who will bludgeon your brother if he doesn't give enough. And of course, you can't give enough now, because everything you give is to pay debt. And why? Because you haven't kept the Sabbath. Sabbath is about debt. It's about working first. But anyway, now we're going to tell you how this all works when we return to Keys of the Kingdom. Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. And let me go on and share with you some of the other things we talked earlier about in previous shows about selling all you hath, and what Christ meant about that. What it meant when it said they owned all things in common. They weren't talking about the general population. They were talking about the ministers, because that's exactly the way the Levites were organized. They owned all things in common. And there's a reason for that. Because they were joint heirs to a responsibility to be the titular leaders of a nation who provided welfare for the people, the tents of the congregation. That's what it says, the tents, the tabernacles of the congregation. Whenever you see that in the Old Testament, that's the word for tents of the congregation. We have this tendency to think it only means this central tent that was moving around from tribe to tribe, which eventually became this stationary temple, contrary to the original plan. But also, God knew that you would do this foolish thing. David did all kinds of foolish things, but then he put them off. But then the people returned to it and got worse and worse and worse, exactly the way it says in Samuel. But they were serving the tents of the congregations of the families, binding a whole nation together by free will offerings, which means faith, hope, and charity, given freely, so therefore by the perfect law of liberty. Now you can tie together in your imagination that Jesus was preaching the exact same way that Moses was preaching. A lot of people want to return to the Torah, and we're going to have some shows on that. Well, not the Torah as interpreted by the Pharisees, I hope, or the Sadducees, I hope, because they interpreted it wrong. And most of what you see today in modern Judaism is contrary to what Moses said to do. The country of Israel, as an example. They're breaking every rule in the book as a matter of policy. But they have their ministers to make you feel good about it. So they get you to have unjust weights and measures in your pocket. They get you to have usurious money systems. They get you to settle for legal title to your property so that you don't have a right to the milk and honey, the beneficial interest. They do all these things contrary to Moses, yet they say they are Jews. And they're actually the synagogue of Satan. But the same can be said of the Christians. Because they're doing the same things. Oh, they wear different robes, they have a different, traditions. But the spirit of their tradition is still contrary to what Christ said to do. They all pray to men who exercise authority, one over the other, to obtain their benefits. There's only a few religions that don't do that, but then they sometimes exercise authority too. So, the truth is that the true church is not going to be like a corporation of the state. It's going to be like the body of Christ, operating as titular people who love one another. They will be peculiar. They will be different than what you see. You see, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and we're supposed to be seeking it and its righteousness. But we're not. And therefore, that's why I have all these injustices in the world today, and why the world is going to hell in a handbasket. And soon we will be able to say, hell is empty, all the demons are here. And they will be devouring who they will, and they are doing it now as we speak. But you're all preoccupied and you don't know what to do, and what we're telling you is what Christ said to do, and what we're showing people what the early church was doing. And I'm not going to tell you everything on the radio. The actual, just absolutely amazing cleverness of Christ. Cleverness does it justice. But his scheme, his plan, which was God's plan, which was Moses' plan, which was Abraham's plan, is extremely effective. It opens all kinds of doors. But we're often closing doors, hiding from the truth, because of our addictions. And we're addicted to socialist states and to governments to do it for us. And that's why you're no longer a government of the people, for the people, or by the people. You're the lukewarm. You're the slothful. You're the ones under tribute. You're the ones back in the bondage of Egypt. You have chosen other men to be the ruling judges, to make the choices for you. And that's why you're in the problem that you're in. So, what we talk about is the sacred purpose trust, which can put you on the right path. But you have to choose to walk it. You see, God put you on a path, and it was a trust. Trust it and keep it. And so, that's what we're doing. We're following that plan. Now, the world follows that plan, but the world, the constitutional order and systems of government, they elect lawmakers and ruling judges who will exercise authority over you and arrest you, even though you did step back, you did comply, you didn't interfere, but they don't like it because you questioned authority. You want to know, why are you doing this? You actually asked a question. That interferes because they're God. And the thing is, the judge can support them because he's a God too. And we explain all that in other places, but those of you who actually take the time have to shut off the TV and actually do a little studying, find out what's going on. He also said to feed my sheep. This is a whole big long thing. We were not to exercise authority. We were to come together and as ministers to serve the people as titular leaders of a peculiar nation, a peculiar gathering of people, that were to live by faith, hope, and charity, no longer coveting their neighbor's goods through the agency of men who exercise authority one over the other. So they were out there feeding the people, going from house to house and dividing the bread with the needy. In the meetings that they describe in the Apocryphas of Justin, he says we meet once a week, and those that have share with those that don't have enough. They actually had sacks of bread. That was the Eucharist of Christ that they would take out to the needy, because they were the social welfare system of God. They were the men who were the benefactors of the people who did not exercise authority, because the authority remained with the people. And this is how you do this. This is how you do it today. And they had to live in the world, but not of the world. They couldn't take the benefits of Caesar. They would obey him as a temporal ruler. You know, if he said, you know, you have to be over here on this side of the street because we're doing this here, we would walk over the other side of the street and go on our way. But we wouldn't apply to them for benefits, knowing that they're going to kick down our neighbor's door in order to get it, or put our children and grandchildren into debt eternally, as you have all done already. While you were going to church singing, you have ate at the table of kings with a great appetite. You have all decided to have one purse. You have been slothful in the ways of Christ. All these injustices going on today, it's the fault of these false ministers who say that you don't have to do anything and you're saved. No, you have to do something. You have to repent. You know, when I quote, "Not everyone that saith unto me," Jesus saying this, "Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." But Jesus said you weren't be like the governments of the Gentiles who exercise authority one over the other. But you are. Every time you take a benefit, every time you apply for a benefit, you are like them, because you're asking them to take from your neighbor and from your neighbor's children and their grandchildren and their future, because they're all in debt. You're the abomination. You're feeding the spirit, not by paying in. All you're doing is paying debt. There is nothing goes to services. Everything goes to debt. They borrow the money for your services from your future and the future of your children. When you pay in, all you're doing is paying for the interest. All these systems are bankrupt. All these systems are bankrupt. All these systems of the world are bankrupt. They're all operating in the red. There are a couple of countries that are operating in the black, but they've been conquered either by the United States or by weapons of the United States given away to countries with the worst human rights record in the world. Amazing. And, you know, I saw the report once on Oregon Public Broadcasting. It was going to air again, actually was a film that was made, and it's seen in Europe, and it shows the U.S. military delivering weapons at sea to ships that went ashore in another country and murdered tens of thousands of people, created rape camps, murdered dozens of reporters, international reporters from all over the world, just murdered them. They never ever found out what happened to them. All with U.S. military weapons given to a government that had one of the worst human rights records in the world under the Jimmy Carter administration. All well documented, and it is in films and in news reports all over Europe and other parts of the world. But when it aired here one time and was supposed to air again, the second time, the Oregon Public Broadcasting went to static. It wasn't allowed to air. They didn't even have something else to put on in its place. I was sitting there with a videotape to record it. You are ignorant. If you're an American, you are ignorant. And now some of you may be starting to become educated, but it's not the government that's doing this. It's the spirit of Cain, living and dwelling in bureaucrats and politicians and preachers and in you. You want to exercise authority one over the other. You want to make people do it your way. You don't want to operate according to the perfect law of liberty. Now, some of you, I know, probably listening on these stations, you do. But there's a part of you that still is clinging to the spirit of Cain. It's gotten into you. It's infested you. It's tainted you. And that's what repentance is all about, to get away from that, to walk away from that, to purge your own heart of that. And that's the purpose of the Sacred Purpose Trust. It will exercise that which you must do to purge your own soul of the spirit of Cain. It's kind of like, you know, like if you were to take drugs, the residue of those drugs is still in you, even after the main high has gone. And you have to clean up. You have to, you know, do a cleanse, so to speak. Get every last little bit out. I mean, this one, especially when you're dealing with like Lexol and Prozac and some of these drugs that use aluminum basis to their structure, their molecular structure. They accumulate in the brain. And so just stop taking them. First of all, you'll have withdrawal. But even after the withdrawal, the residual effects of those drugs are still in there, inside your body. And if you get it like in an electrical field, the aluminum responds to an electrical field. So these little trace elements, they will jiggle in an electrical field. Like if you sit in front of a computer screen, a big computer screen like the old units, not so much with the flat screens, but I mean, your house is full of electrical fields. It can actually cause a little slight high again because those chemicals are still in there. They're still active. It's kind of like, when you build up toxins in your body, in the fat cells of your body, and then you start doing a fast or a cleanse, and or even deep muscle massage, you will release those chemicals that were in your body, and they are toxins again flowing around in your blood. So when you first start to follow the way of Christ by taking care of one another, striving to take care of one another through faith, hope, and charity, and the perfect law of liberty, and unless you're going to do that, you're not going to be free. And people think, oh, I'm going to file these papers and I'll be free. Or I'm going to rescind my contracts and I'll be free. Not going to happen. You have to change. You have to manifest the character of Christ. Or they'll just come and devour you. They'll eat you up alive, as them that go down in the pit. That's what's going to happen. So not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he in the kingdom of heaven is the right to be ruled by God. Kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, the right to be ruled by God. and not by other men. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, he goes on to say, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? These will be all the ministers, you know, who think they're Christians. And even some of the parishioners who think they're Christians. And the Bible thumpers who think they're Christians. He says, in thy name, we've cast out demons, you know, we've had altar calls, we've preached from the pulpit. In thy name, we've done wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Why? Because you're not really manifesting the character of God. Ye that work iniquity. Ye that work iniquity. What's that iniquity? The spirit of Cain. See, you can sit in your house and watch TV. You know, you can Praise the Lord channel or whatever, you know, 700 Club, whatever you want. You watch TV. And you just wait for that check coming in. And somebody else has gone out and bound your neighbor to pay that debt and their children and their grandchildren. You say, well, I was entitled. I paid in. That's not the spirit of Christ. Christ was entitled to eat those fishes and loaves. They were given to him. He had given all his wealth away. And that's what it says. Though he was wealthy, though he was rich, he made himself poor. But he didn't eat them. He gave them away to somebody else. That's the manifestation. But you, knowing that your benefactors are men who exercise authority, knowing that your benefactors are bankrupt, you want the benefits anyway. Now, I don't want you to starve. I want you to repent. I want you to start setting the table of the Lord with your extra time and energy and whatever. Start learning how God's system of righteousness works. Start helping others learn. Start working with others to be the ministers of God. Support their efforts when you see them really doing it. Not these guys who've been tickling your ears, lulling you into a false sense of salvation, delivering you into bondage, and sometimes getting rich doing it. He goes on to say, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will, and doeth them, that's works, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. The rock of what? The rock of faith. The rock of the manifestation of God's character. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. Remember, Jesus said he was going to build his church on the rock. He wasn't talking Peter. He was talking the faith that Peter manifested, the revelation. You will not understand what I'm talking about unless there's some revelation. You may think you do. But if there's some revelation, you need to act upon that revelation. Don't be burying it. Don't be hiding it. You need to act upon it. You need to find others and work with them to become the benefactors who don't exercise authority. In verse 26, he goes on to say, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto the foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. Do you think your house will stand? Do you think your benefactors will not fail? You know, your benefactors are the unrighteous mammon, the entrusted wealth, the treasuries, the central treasuries. They've already failed. You're just skating along on the momentum, creating more and more debt. And they're not going to change. You've seen that. You know, fiscal responsibility of the government. What about your fiscal responsibility? You're betting on Cain to supply you with benefits. You're betting on Nimrod to supply you with benefits. Like Nimrod's not going to fail. Like his tower is not going to collapse. Your system is the system of Cain. It's not the system of Moses. Even in Israel, their system of social welfare is not run like Moses' system of social welfare. It's just like what you've got in Australia and Canada and everywhere else. And they're all going to fail in a twinkling of an eye. This is what is happening. It will fail. For he taught them as one having authority, it says. The word authority there is the word exousia, which is the word for the right to choose. You know, it's translated authority sometimes. It's translated power sometimes. It's translated liberty sometimes. It's translated right, because it means the power to choose. For he taught them as one having the power to choose, to decide, not as the scribes. You know how many times, I won't give you the details of this, where I run into scribes are bureaucrats. It means an accountant. It doesn't mean somebody who recopies the Bible over and over again. These are guys who enforce the rules and the laws and the regulations. And they say, well, I can't do anything because the regulation says that I have to throw you in jail. The regulation says I have to take this away from you. The regulation, well, you know, just following orders. You need to follow the orders of Christ. Next time, we're going to tell you what some of those orders were. We're going to show you how this Sacred Purpose Trust operates. But you're going to need to study it all. Until then, peace on your house.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net. Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. We're talking about this Sacred Purpose Trust and the fact that Christ said over and over and over again that you needed to be doers of the Word. We were just reading from Matthew, where he made it really clear in Matthew 7:21-29. And he was free to speak these things because he had done what Moses said. The ministers were duped. A lot of people think, well, Jesus, I've said this before, Jesus was high priest and king. And a lot of people don't want to agree with that. But the reality was that his cousin, who baptized him, was literally the rightful high priest of the true church in the wilderness, because he was doing what he was supposed to be doing. But Christ even got Caiaphas to eventually repent. Although we don't see that specifically in the text, there is some, you know, and I go through the story and the fact that they recently found a bone box of Caiaphas seems to be dating all the way back to that time with strange symbols on it and three nails like those used in crucifixion found in the box. When you understand the history of Caiaphas and how he was involved with Ananias, who was a very evil man and had many evil sons, And Caiaphas had married one of his daughters. See, if you get all these other little pieces, you start realizing what was happening then. Then you can read the Bible in context. But if you don't know what was actually going on, what words meant, what customs were, then you can get easily taken away. But if you were filled with the Holy Spirit, if you were connected to that Rosh Hashanah, then you will start to see certain things. You'll say, hey, this doesn't make sense the way they're telling me. It must be something else. And with a little bit of information, you'll say, oh, well, now I see how the dots are connected. But if you don't connect to that spirit, that source of revelation, you'll just accept, oh, all I have to do is believe. In what? Believe in what? Believe in the real Christ or some made-up version of Christ? Because that's what most Christians do, is they believe in a made-up version of Christ. No, so who are the real Christians? Well, it's kind of difficult to say, and the fact is, I don't have to say. I know what a Christian is not. A Christian is not somebody who does contrary to the ways of Christ, because he's not following Christ. Now, they want you to not follow Christ. They want you to follow off this false Christ that they've been preaching, and they got many of you to do it. And so here I come along, a voice in the wilderness, saying, make straight the way of the Lord, and in order to say that, I am insinuating, even saying, the way you're doing it now is crooked and unrighteous. So anyway, we can also read in Luke 6:47, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. And he goes on and explains it. But it's very important that they be doers. Timothy 2:9. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. You see, this is where the spiritual power enters in. That if you start going, sincerely going in the ways of righteousness, which is what Christ said to do, seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, not the self-righteousness of the world, but His righteousness, which means to stop coveting, start loving one another. And that's the purpose of a congregation. It's not to make you feel good. James 1:22 and 23 we see, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Well, that's what the Christians are doing. They're deceiving their own selves. They think that all we have to do is say, Lord, Lord. You know, this is James. In the epistle, see, I had a minister, I should send him copies of this so he can listen because he's not on the net, mentioning that where Christ said you had to be doers of the word, he says, oh, that was before the crucifixion. Now that he was crucified, we're just all saved. Well, wait a minute, James is writing after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, and he's saying, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And that's, of course, what's happened. And he goes on to say, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And, of course, that's a reference to the actual Greek myths and philosophies that James evidently knew about. You're in love with your own reflection. You're in love with the idea that you're saved. You're not in love with Christ. Now, you could be if you repent, but you're going to have to start doing things differently. You won't be able to do it enough. You won't be able to do it righteously. But in that walk, in those steps you must take, the Spirit of God will enter in and change you. 1 John 2:17, and the world passeth away. The world passeth away. And the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So what is he talking about? The lust thereof, of the world. I mean, does a planet have lust? Is that what he's talking about? Or is there something else that we see going on here in this particular text? And we actually see this reference to the world passeth several times in the Bible. What word do you think they translated into world there? You know, because a lot of people talk about the planet passing away, but the word that they use, and you find it in Corinthians and 1 Corinthians 7:21, if you want to look it up, or 7:31, I think it was, and also in 1 John 2:17. This world passeth away. That's that, and I'll read you the definition again. I'm not making this up. An apt or harmonious arrangement or constitution, comma, order, comma, government. That's what they're talking about. That's the unrighteous mammon. It's going to fail. It is failing. You're seeing it fail. And you're sitting there not figuring out what to do. Well, we'll show you what to do. But you got to do it. Because we're not going to tell you, like I say, all on the radio. You have to actually start doing it. 3 John 1:10, wherefore, if I come and I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. What's he talking about? Well, you go read that. 3 John 1:10. Go read the whole chapter. There is this false Christianity in the last days. We're told many would follow these pernicious ways, and that's what you're doing. But if you just simply turn around and start seeking to go back the other way, recreate that society that was sustaining the welfare of society by faith, hope, and charity, and look for ministries who work diligently to do that, not to so that they can live in million-dollar mansions. You know, and they have extra, the best insurance in the world and all this kind of stuff, and they have no insurance because they don't have Christ. They were poor and made themselves rich at your expense. There's a lot of money in tickling ears. Good money in that. Not good money. Big money. Anyway, a minister of Christ must serve the people. This is required. The people need to be doers of the word. They should be tithing. How were the apostles giving away bread house to house? How were they traveling around? Peter wasn't fishing anymore. How was he getting from one place to the other? How were they doing that? People were supporting their ministry. And they weren't just going around doing the do-nothing. They were actually, everybody who got the baptism of Jesus Christ was cast out of the welfare system set up by Herod through the temple and through the synagogue. But of course, you know, as John says, that was the synagogue of Satan. Why was it the synagogue of Satan, the synagogue of the adversary? Because it didn't operate by faith, hope, and charity, or the perfect law of liberty. It operated by men who called themselves benefactors but exercised authority. So anyway, the people had to tithe. And, you know, tithing isn't just 10%. Tithing was 10 families gathered together, each one giving a portion of what was needed to operate a government by free will offerings. This is what Israel was. This is what the early church was. That would mean that if the Levite minister that served those 10 families, those 10 tents, those 10 homes, if that Levite minister devoted all his working day to health, education, and welfare for those 10 families, plus spent time, considerable time, connecting them with the other ministers in his own congregation of ministers, which is part of that network, when was he going to have any time to earn the money necessary to feed his family, take care of his family needs? He had no inheritance in the land. Now, the Levites had land, but that was to support their efforts. You had to support that minister 100% of the time, so he didn't have to go out and work another job. He had a full-time job. He was the government of Israel. He was all these, you know, small business administration, all these government-issued things that you have in your bureaucracies they had in Israel, but they had it based on free will offerings. So you always, you had the treasury in your pocket, but it had to flow, like that letter mem I always talk about, had to flow. That's what the word altar begins with, the word mem. It had to flow. That's why Jesus gave away what was given him, because he was creating that flow out of love, out of compassion. One of the greatest generals in the history of the world, Alexander the Great, leading an army across the desert. One of his scouts going out ahead found water, brought it back in his helmet, gives it to Alexander the Great to drink. He holds it up so everybody can see it, and he pours it out into the sand, saying he would not drink till all his men drank. That is the character of Christ. Now, a lot of the other things that Alexander the Great did was not of the character of Christ. And I'm sure that many of you out there have elements of the character of Christ in you. But we have to manifest the wholeness. If you're going to put on the whole armor, you got to do the whole enchilada, the whole thing. You have to eventually get to, you have to work in that direction, that you are the entire social welfare of your congregations and congregations of congregations. Like we used to do in this country when we were becoming great. Now we live on those laurels. But we suck the life out of one another. We have become little beasties, sending men out to kick in the door of our neighbors so that we can have free education, free health care, free all these things. That's insane to think that you're a Christian and still doing that. Robbing widows and orphans, robbing the unborn with debt so that you can be comfortable now. Everybody's going to have to lower their standard of living in order to make this happen. But eventually you will come out on top. The only reason you have to lower your standard of living to give what you need to give to be the ministers of God, including all you elders of the congregation, is because you've been slothful in the past. If you had continued in the ways of Christ for the last 200 years, we would be the most powerful nation on the world, but you chosen not to. A minister of Christ must serve the people. He cannot do that unless the people support his efforts. Luke 22:27, for whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am amongst you as he that serveth. This is the character, the manifestation of the ministers of God. John 13:16, verily, verily, I say unto thee, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. John 15:20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, and see, that's the thing, is we're going to be persecuted because we want to live by faith, hope, and charity. Because we don't want to force our neighbor to contribute to our welfare. We will be counted as evil. And you've heard me say this before, and now you hear it again, but these are records. On the Living Network, we're going to be sending out recordings that we made last year, bringing people up to speed. I'm amazed at the number of people that are in the network that still don't have a good picture. They don't all listen to the study groups. They're not all on the study groups. They get distracted. But that's where we're at now, is finding those who have it written on their heart so much that they won't be distracted. They keep going. They persevere. Now, these ministers, they must serve the people, but they also must care of and for their families, their own families. Remember in 1 Timothy it says, chapter 5, verse 8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So if you go to the benefactors who exercise authority to provide for your own, and especially for your own house, you have denied the faith. And I tell you this in a time when you can't even take care of your own or your family without the benefactors who exercise authority, because you become so weak, you're literally bedridden. You're incapable of providing for your own. All the more reason you need to gather together. This is the purpose of the congregations and the Sacred Purpose Trust, to make that something that you can actually do. You have to take that extra money instead of buying your cigarettes or your booze or whatever it is and start taking care of one another. Instead of buying that extra motorcycle that you probably don't even need anyway, you're going to have to start taking care of one another. This is how you lower the standard of living. I'm not telling you to starve yourself to death. Maybe get a little cheaper apartment, whatever it is, and provide for others. The more you do that, the more you will purge your own spirit of the spirit of Cain, of the spirit of Nimrod. And the more, as you purge your spirit of that, the more the Holy Spirit can enter into you and give you life. But you cannot do it like a witch's brew. You have to do it because you understand that principle in your heart and in your mind. Now note in that 1 Timothy 5:8, he talks about provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house. So when we say of his own, we're not talking about his family. We're talking about his congregation. And if you talk about one congregation, you have to be talking about all congregations, because you have to love the next congregation as much as your own. So you see here, if your church is not providing all the social welfare for the people that are congregating in your church is not keeping the faith. You're denying the faith. And you're not a Christian. You're worse than an infidel. You see, the infidels are socialists. They force their neighbor to contribute. They don't provide it out of faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. So therefore, they are not at liberty. They're under these Nimrodic, tyrannical kings and rulers. And God's many. And of course, that's where most of the Jews today are, most of the Hindus today are, most of the Christians today are. They're actually infidels. Pretty hard-hitting stuff. But that's what you have to see. And we've covered this more than once. And if you sit down and listen to the whole series, you'll hear it again and again. But you have to a lot of times in order to come to a fuller understanding of the truth. Because there's so long you've been hearing it, and it hasn't been sticking in your mind. So there, occasionally I'll tell you a little story along with it too. But also, serve the people. This minister has to take care of his family. He has to serve the people as administrators of the affairs of society. And I've given this before, and I'll give it again. In Philippians 3:20, he says, "For our conversation is in heaven." And that word conversation, why did they say conversation there? I mean, are you talking in heaven? because when we say conversation, we think of heaven. I mean, talking, speaking. So what is he talking about? Our conversation. And see, there's two words that are translated into conversation. You'll find the word conversation twice, actually more than twice in the Bible, because there's conversations. But in one place, it's anastrepho, which actually is translated return, also translated live, also abide, overthrow. It means to turn upside down or overturn is what it actually means. And they translate it conversation a couple times. It appears almost a dozen times. But they translate it conversation. But in Philippians, it's a different word. It's the word polytume. And polytume, which comes from polytumai, which is the verb, it means the administration of civil affairs. It's a very specific word. It's where you get the word politics. Our politics is in heaven. Our politics is in the perfect law of liberty. Our politics is in free will offerings. Our politics is in the righteousness of God based on love. That's what our politics is in. But that's not what a lot of people claiming to be Christian, that's not what their politics is in. We see that as a verb, but it's just translated lived in Acts 23:1. And we see it also as a verb in Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation, in other words, your administration of civil affairs. Yeah, that's right. He's talking about that. You can see there was this other king, Jesus. And those who chose him as their king were not a part of the welfare system of Herod, the welfare system of Rome, the welfare system of Ephesus, the welfare system of Corinth. Although Paul talks to the treasurer of Corinth saying, you should do it our way. And eventually, Caesar even had to do it his way, to some degree. And that's what you see with Constantine. Of course, Constantine fudged it. He devastated Christianity by creating a false Christianity. And that's where we've all come down from. There's been attempts to go back, and some men have successfully gone back, but today, the modern Christian has no understanding, virtually no understanding, of what the system of God really looks like. They've abandoned the system of God. They are not taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity, and free will offerings, and the perfect law of liberty. And this is why you need the Sacred Purpose Trust. We call it Sacred Purpose Trust, but it's really just faith in the ways of Christ. Where you pick a minister and you fund him to take care of the needs of your society, starting with your local congregation, your own, but not ever forgetting the next congregation. Home churches are great, but home churches who are not connected with other home churches all over the country for the purposes of being the social welfare of society are off the track. They're just little mutual back-scratching groups. They're not even, I was going to use the word society there, but I can't really use the word society. So in Philippians 1:27, he says, only let your conversation, your administration of civil affairs, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. And ye stand fast in one spirit, that spirit of liberty, and one mind, striving together for faith of the gospel. This is the gospel. You can be free souls under God if you repent and seek the righteousness of God. And this is what we're talking about. We'll be back to Keys of the Kingdom, and we'll tell you more. So, during the break, did everybody go to the livingnetwork.org and sign up for their local congregation so they can start taking care of one another out of love instead of out of the spirit of Cain and Nimrod and the evil, satanic ways of the past? Or did you just wait and think that something's going to change without being doers of the word? Because if you did, you're in a lot of trouble. You're going to have to start acting upon what you begin to understand. And if you don't understand and you're getting all mad at us and thinking we're all wrong and we don't know what we're talking about, well, you know, we'll pray for you. What can I say? These ministers, they had no authority over the people. these ministers of the early church, they could not exercise authority one over the other. They were told not to be that way. But they had an obligation to feed the sheep, to take care of one another, and to facilitate the elders of every congregation in taking care of their own, as well as their own family. You know, if they fell off a ladder, the church was there. If their house burned down, the church would be there. And there's some of that in every community. Some of that. You know, we talked about the, you know, people, you know, dying in their house and nobody finding them for 3, 4, 5 years. Not even knowing. They don't even know. Nobody's ever checked on old people. Nobody cared. What kind of a society are we? Well, we're the kind of society where a girl can be abducted down the street in broad daylight, right in front of everybody, and everybody just stands there and does absolutely nothing. That's the kind of society that we are. Where people can be beat, abused by the bureaucrats, violated, eaten up, destroyed, and you go to church and sing and think you're saved. I don't care what country you live in, you don't live in the greatest country in the world. It's now measuring which country you live in as the worst country in the world. Which one of you live in the worst country of the world? Now, all the evil of the world is focused in America, and it's doing a good job. Now, when are you going to start doing your job of repenting, turning around and going the other way? These ministers were naked. They were titular. They exercised no authority over the people, but they did have authority over what the people gave them. What the people gave them is in a trust. It's in a sacred purpose trust. It's not their money. It's Christ's money. Say you fell on hard times and you needed help. A medical, a fire, you know, you lost your job, whatever it was, and you needed help financially. And the church came and gave you $500 or $1,000. And then you got on your feet. Did you pay the church back? Now, it's not a loan, you know, because it would be illegal for the church to give a no-interest loan, because that's the way systems of the world operate. I mean, you can't even give a no-interest loan to a family member. By law, you have to charge them. They're not allowing you to do that. It's illegal not to charge usury. In most countries today, I remember when I was a little kid, which shows you how old I am, usury was anything, I think it was, if it was over 3.5%, it was considered usury. You know, it's usury if it's anything, but that is really interest gain. You know, this is why I say that his church should form a credit union. We could, if you were to start forming real congregations, we would work more on that. Because a credit union is a bank, not for profit. So when they charge interest on your house loan or whatever, it's not to buy a boat. It's not to get a vacation in the Riviera. It's not to make some CEO rich. If they actually make money, they have to give it back to the people. In some sort of charitable way. This is what they were doing in Acts 6. They were forming an institution to help maintain the daily ministration, because they didn't have Social Security through Herod's temple anymore. They had to have it through the living temple of Christ. And we can show you how to do all that. But you got to start working at being the congregations of God. The tents of the congregation of God, the families of the congregation, the clay altars of Abraham. And then you entrust your minister with funds so that he can work full time serving the kingdom, serving the houses of the families. Then you're also going to have to tithe to him so that he has bread to distribute when there's people that are hungry and when they're helped. And if he helps you, when you get back on your feet, you have to pay that back. Not because you owe him, because he didn't loan it to you anyway. He gave you what Christ gave him. Now you have to give back. So, you know, I heard from ministers who, you know, a family was really on hard times and the church gave them a bunch of money to help them over a real rough time. And then they got over it and they just went out and they never paid anything back. Now, if the church helps you, you don't owe the church. You owe Jesus. Now, you could pay back the church. Maybe you'll pay somebody else. You'll do something else and help somebody else. But if you don't pay back to the church, it won't have the funds to help the next guy. What's the matter with you? Don't you love your neighbor as yourself? You see, that's how it works. People don't think that way in the modern church. You certainly don't think that way in the church you really attend to, which is Social Security Welfare Office Church of the Men Who Exercise Authority. That's your religion. You know, like that scene with the actor, he was a boxer and he had to go on the government dole, and then when he finally got on his feet, he went back to the government dole office where he had gotten some funds and he paid them back, and everybody was just standing around like stunned. That's the way you should do it. You should pay it back with interest. That's passing it forward. But you should be picking ministers who want to be the titular, naked, non-exercising authority people that lead you back to the ways of Christ. Not the ones that tickle your ears and make you fools who take from your neighbor to provide you with social welfare. In a republic, the leaders are titular. In the church, the leaders are titular. They don't have any authority. They are naked. They don't exercise authority over you. But they do exercise authority over what you give them. So that forces you to pick wisely when you pick a minister. That means you have to work at first job in a congregation of record is to build that congregation. And you do that by going out and helping the truly needy that may be seeking the righteousness of God first. You do that by spreading the word, getting us on more radio stations, or getting somebody who's preaching the actual gospel. If you find more, actually somebody sent me a video today that's supposed to be somebody who's talking about this thing, but I don't have enough bandwidth to download it until after midnight. So I'll have to wait and to see what the guy has to say. But don't make me do it all. We have other ministers who are really figuring this out and starting to walk this walk. There's a real learning curve, but it's changing them. And that's what you need. You need change. We need change. You know, that's why they said they promise you change. I promise you change if you change. But if you don't change, I promise you more of the same. Because the only thing you have a right to change is you. And you don't even have the power to change you, but you can be changed because you change your direction, the path that you're walking. That means instead of looking to the benefactors, you start looking to one another. That's pretty simple stuff. But it has a powerful quantum effect. You go out there and you want to get involved in politics, going to change the world because you're going to get elected to office or elect somebody to office. No way. Ain't going to happen. That's the spirit of Nimrod. You want to see change? You change. Do the simple stuff. Start taking care of one another. I tell you, you just have to start walking that walk. Being titular means that they depend entirely upon the people for their means by which they operate and perform the duties of a free government. Now, imperial republics, they give some power to the government to tax, you know, like tariffs and excise taxes, which to some degree would work, but tariff tax taxes everybody. That's taxes on goods coming in from abroad. As soon as you give your government that power, you've walled in the camp. And that's that's opening a door to evil. Now, if you give them the power to excise tax, and you have the right to the milk and honey of everything you own, your labor, your land, etc., they won't charge you any excise tax, but those people who come in your midst who will settle for legal title will be charged an excise tax. And that's not half bad, but it's also tainted a little bit. But God lets you make some of these mistakes, because he knows you're weak. It's like, you know, you're learning to walk, and he lets you use a cane. But you want to wean yourself off that cane. You don't want to become dependent upon it. So anyway, I don't know if you can start putting this together. See, a pure republic, the Constitution gave of the United States, I don't want to pick on that government. I'm interested in preaching the government of God, but we use that as an example. The government had the power to impose tariff and excise taxes, so they could tax foreign trade, and they could also put a tax on anything you didn't have an actual lawful title to. See, an excise tax is a patrimonial right of the father. That's the way it's defined. You go read the covenants of the gods. Excise is tribute. And tribute is a patrimonial right, the right of the father to tax that which he owns the true title to. If you haven't taken the time to study, like law versus legal in the covenants of the gods, you don't know the difference between a legal title and a lawful title. True and actual title. When I use the word lawful, I mean true and actual title, because a legal title is lawful. It's just a divided title. You have the legal title, means you don't have the beneficial interest of the property. That's the definition in Black's Law Dictionary. I didn't make it up. And you have legal title to the land, you don't own it. You don't own the beneficial right, you own the legal title. And the legal title does not include the beneficial use of the property. Therefore, they can tax you on the use of the property. You don't pay the tax, they take the property away. You don't own anything. I thought it was funny when I heard this person talking about Clive. Is it Clive Bundy? The guy in Nevada, that he doesn't own that land. Well, you don't own your land either. If they come and take it from Clive, which he actually owns the grazing rights, if they come and take it from him on trumped up bureaucratic nonsense so that they can drill for oil, then what happens to your property when they come and take your property? You know, it's like that old deal with the Nazis. They came for the communists and nobody did anything, and they came for, and then they came for me. Because you've created a beast that goes around and devours who it will, because you care more about yourself than you do your neighbor. And that's because you're not really a Christian, you're not really following Christ, so therefore, I call you to repent! That's what you need to do! This is serious. Your souls are at stake. You've gone the wrong way. You're not going the righteous way of Christ. You're not gathering together with one another to take care of one another and to do the will of the Father. You're not doing that. You're not certainly not doing it on a kingdom level. You need to repent and start doing it. Join us. Go join the network. Form a congregation of record. You know, you're not obligated to me. You're not a corporation as a congregation of record. Anyway, we'll talk more about that. This idea, though, that the ministers have no power over you is very important. They shouldn't have any emotional power over you either. They do not exercise authority one over the other, but are servants of servants, which we've explained over and over again. But people just don't quite make that connection and what that means. Because your public servants in whatever government you are in now, they're not servants, they're lawmakers. They just arrest you, they arrest your wife, they don't care about you. You could kidnap a girl right in front of them and they wouldn't do anything. But if you don't stand far enough back, you know, as your husband is in the police car, they'll throw you in jail. And everybody will stand around and let that happen. Now, I'm not telling you to go wrestle a cop to the ground. But 5,000 people should show up at that courthouse on the day of his arraignment saying, we want justice. We want this man released. We want to know why now was he even arrested. And if there was not good cause, we want those officers either sanctioned or fired, depending on whatever the case is. You'll get results. But if you all go to church and sing, then you're not doing what Christ said, because he said the weightier matters was tending to the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Christ was running a system of government that operated by free will offerings, just like Moses. People like Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod, Stuart, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto Christ, of their substance, allowed Christ to create a welfare system with ministers who would not exercise authority and take care of the needy without going to the men who called themselves benefactors, going to the kings who set a table that is full of deceitful meats that you do not want to be eating of, because he serves those deceitful meats that will become a snare and a trap. Christ had to create the alternative, and that took a number of years. What are you doing to create that alternative? Shaking your fist at the beast? You are the beast. You created it because you didn't create the alternative. You weren't a doer of the word. You were playing church. Exodus 20:26, neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. What is he talking about? The people had to make these breeches, coverings, for their ministers, because they had no authority. And that's why you need a sacred purpose trust, to give the minister covering. And you also have to give him your substance that he... And I'm not going to tell you all the little fine details. I mean, we have a lot of it written. If you read all the footnotes and you study it, you're still going to probably need some explanation. We're only going to do this in person. But this is clever. And if you begin to walk the walk, we'll reveal the rest to you. But I tell you this, if you really begin to walk the walk, you'll begin to see the rest of this. Because God will open your eyes. We will build His church upon that inner revelation that comes from those who are doers of the Word, and does not come from those who bury their talent, deposit their wealth in their own pockets, and do not start the flow of righteousness, loving their neighbor as much as themselves. So you go read Luke 22:25-27 and see what it says, and the others. We need to serve one another. We need to have ministers who are men of service, who don't want to exercise authority, who want to do and manifest the character of Christ. Sacred Purpose Trust is the beginning of that covering that empowers them. Also a Friends of His Church Trust, which is a Sacred Purpose Trust as well. But it creates this outer area where the laver is, where you can clean up things before they enter into the temple. And, you know, like I said, at His Church Credit Union, you can do these things, but the elders need to start really getting serious about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness by creating the institutions of God according to the Spirit of God and the manifestation of His name, or they're not going to get anywhere. By giving them something, by giving your minister something to take care of for Christ's purposes, the man becomes the minister by your witness. But you get to see if he is a minister. You gotta give him something to go with. And as much as you invest in that kingdom will determine where you stand in relationship to that kingdom, because you're sacrificing according to the character of Christ. You're going to find that hard at times. But then in prayerful reflection, you can repent. Repentance isn't always just an instant thing. It's a process. It's a direction. When two or more do this by their witness, that minister can say he is doing the work of Christ and his ministry, and that he is the minister of Christ. He is no longer naked. He is now wearing the breeches, the covering of the people, to do the work of Christ. Now, if he's not doing it, withdraw your covering. But if you're not supporting his effort to do it, you've got some serious explanations to make to Christ when he says you're a worker of iniquity. You're not a doer of the word. You're not taking care of one another. Get ye from me. You see, there's a job that the church has, the ministers have, and the elders of every congregation has. If they're not tithing, they better be starving. Because even the widow gave her widow's mite. And I'm not telling you who to tithe to. I'm not telling you to tithe to me. But you better be gathering together with somebody with the intention of becoming the social welfare of Christ, or you will not be free. And you should not be free. You should be under tribute. The slothful should be under tribute. The minister's position is not merely naked self-testimony, but he will be covered by the testimony of the people. For the purposes of Christ, for the people, to feed the sheep, according to the name of the Lord God Almighty. Until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God protect you, because you're going to need it. Until then, God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.